This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you live again from New York City, New York. Great to be here. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Phone number on the show, 855-212-4CBS. Man, what a beautiful time of year in New York City. Yesterday, walked from basically the upper 70s and 2nd Avenue all the way down to basically the southern end of the island. And I walked 7 miles, eight, I'm not even sure. Three, I'm bad at geography. It's great to be here. It's beautiful. And it doesn't change the fact, clearly, we're in the weirdest timeline. It's 2021, and yet the Knicks are a playoff team. Tim Tebow is in the National Football League, and J-Lo and Ben Affleck are dating. Feels like it's 1997. We will dive into all of those things later in the show. And by the way, should go without saying, but what a giant red flag Urban Meyer sent up. I mean, this guy's going to end up being the Phil Jackson of the NFL. Someone who diminishes their reputation by being utterly awful at their job, but making a whole bunch of money they did not earn in their last job at the highest level. Howard Beck's going to be on the program 1 hour from now. Sports Illustrated National NBA writer. We'll get into Jaylen Brown, our awards ballots. Tom DiBenedetto is the executive producer. Producer underscore Tom. A little buy or sell at the end of the show. Russell Westbrook is an enigma. The man's a mystery. Trying to make sense of his excellence, where he ranks in the game, the impact of his impact is really hard to do. And the gulf between the greatness of Russell Westbrook, which is absolute, and what greatness is supposed to result in sports, which is winning, the distance between those things is on stark display today. On the one hand, and I don't even know which guy it is up at the, the giant rat up in Connecticut who sent down the, if you don't respect Russell Westbrook, I'm going to call you out. Cool, man. Go do your thing. That's all. Wow. I don't want to be called out by that guy. Westbrook is legendary and limited, right? He's the thing that all these TV shows now, The Boys, Jupiter's Legacy, are trying to make superhero shows about. Superheroes who actually live in these shades of gray, who are not likable or successful or the perfect ideal of greatness. It's Russell Westbrook. 182nd triple-double yesterday to pass the Big O. Incredible. And yet, the Wizards, in a game that, by the way, is significant, and we talked about this yesterday, it matters. It matters if you are the 6th seed versus the 7th seed, the 8th seed versus the 9th seed, and so on and so forth. That game last night mattered. It was a significant and important basketball game for the teams that played. And even though Westbrook got the game ball and the record and all the accolades and the sound, the moment he's going to talk to the press and we'll play it for in a second, it's the Atlanta Hawks who won that game. Westbrook did not play effectively at the end of the game. And I was thinking about this. What's the old Mark Twain line? There are lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? In that order. And I can give you stats on Russ up and down. I can tell you that the Wizards on this run that they're on, and I don't think Washington's going to win an NBA championship, but they could be a real headache for somebody if they make their way into a seven-game series. They are 15-5 over the last 20 games. And over that stretch, Westbrook is averaging 23-14-14. Think about that. Those are LeBron James at the height of his powers in the finals numbers. And yet you keep having outcomes like we had last night. They keep losing games at times that they shouldn't. And here's what occurred to me. And by the way, let me say this too. I like, to the degree that I've interacted with him, I like Russell Westbrook. That's not even true. I don't really know him. I just respect the hell out of him. Incredible competitor. Gives everything to the game. By all the counts, is a really good person. I know that's not supposed to matter, right? Because here's the truth. There are people that I talk about to you on the show in all the sports that aren't good people, certainly. And there are some that I know aren't good people. I'm not going to bring that up. I'm not going to bring up some random guy and be like, oh, yeah, that guy cheats on his wife. It's not germane to the conversation. It's not important. But I think the other side of that coin is I think people that are decent are worth rooting for. And he's decent. But he is limited in his greatness. And I want to play you this clip because I'm not making fun of him. But just I want you to listen because he's going to say something. And I just want to point out in advance before I throw to it here on the program. Bill Ryder with you, Ryder Than You, CBS Sports Radio. That you can't say, I never think of something when I go out and I compete. And then in the next breath say, nobody thinks I can do it. And that's why I do it. Hold on. If you're doing it to prove people wrong, then you're thinking about it. Which is it? And, you know, Russ kind of slipped up post-game, I think, in getting caught in the old, yeah, he is chasing some stats.
I never really thought about it, honestly. You know, I just kind of go out and play. And every night I try to do things that people said it can't be done or you can't do it. And my motto is, why not? And that's how I live. And that's how I think.
I mean, either you know about it or you don't know about it. Either you're not thinking about it or you are. And here's what I came up with this morning as I was walking up to the CBS Sports Radio home base here in New York City. Beautiful day in New York City. This thing called Sun came out. Everywhere I've gone, by the way, everywhere I've gone, even a random guy that sold me coffee is like, you're really tan. You look really healthy. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. You guys all been living in caves? It's called winter. L.A. boy. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Russell Westbrook's not a winner of the highest order. He's not a guy that can bend a game or a team to his will in a way that leads to championships. He is by the standards of historical greatness. And as a triple-double machine, and by the way, triple-doubles aren't hollow. It's not easy to get 10 rebounds. It's not easy to get 14 assists or 11 assists. Westbrook leads the NBA in assists per game. His numbers, right around 11.1, are Steve Nash-esque when Nash got those MVPs, right? It was the offense that Nash created. It was the distribution. It was the excellence that he spread out for his teammates. It was the assists that got him those awards. Westbrook's in the same territory. That's not easy to do. And the easy and cheap take would be to come on here, and maybe accurate take would be to say, yeah, he's amazing, but he doesn't win. And that is true. Here's what I realized. Almost nobody wins. It's so hard to be great in the NBA, especially in our lifetimes. Jordan warped with his greatness what history should have been. Again, we're in the weirdest timeline. LeBron James made, I can't even remember, and I'm an NBA insider for crying out loud, what, 7 straight NBA finals? Then missed one? Then won one with the Lakers? 4 with the Heat? 3 with the Cavs? Then I think went to LA. It's hard to even keep track of. Think about the number of players that I could tell you accurately, 100% accurately, can't win or don't win on their own. Joel Embiid's never won an NBA championship. Nikola Jokic is going to be an MVP. He's never won an NBA championship. At this rate, it looks like Damian Lillard's never going to win an NBA championship. I'm still highly skeptical of the Nets. I think it's totally possible. James Harden's going to finish his career and not have won an NBA championship. Kevin Durant's got a couple, but to me, he drafted off the Warriors. Kyrie's got one, but he was a part of a LeBron James team. Things aren't looking good in Boston. Zion's not exactly eyeing a turnaround. There aren't many guys that have gotten to the height of the mountain. That Spurs dynasty, that LeBron domination, the Warriors domination. Russell Westbrook's not alone in a group of remarkable stars who can't win championships. He might just be the best player among that group historically. He's the top of a list that maybe you don't want to climb, but it's still impressive. That's the thing about greatness and trying to achieve it. You're going up against the LeBron James of the world. You're going up against the Stephen Currys of the world when that Warriors team was healthy. And those Spurs teams when Tim Duncan was around. And those other Lakers teams when Kobe was alive and playing with Shaq. Yeah, you can criticize Westbrook, and I get it. And I don't think what Westbrook does translates to excellence. I don't. I don't think it translates to winning. But neither does almost anyone else's approach. And I'm in this weird position, and if you've listened to me the last 3 or 4 years, you know that, right or wrong, I'm just going to say what I think. So if I have an interaction with 5 years ago with Chris Paul that showcased him to be the biggest phony in sports and not a good guy in how he treats people, I'm going to talk about it again and again and again because I like punching bullies in the face metaphorically. I do. The guy's a bully. Don't like him. But I'm rooting for him weirdly this year. I can separate how people treat me from who they are as a player and their legacy. And that's one of the things that gets taken from you that is real when you become someone who covers sports for a living. When you know people, it affects how you view them. But for me, it doesn't affect the greatness. But if Chris Paul doesn't win an NBA championship this year, and by the way, I think he can. I just think that in a wide open race where, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but there's 7 to 10 teams that I think can win an NBA championship this year. I think, you know, the Suns are one of the 3 or 4 most likely, assuming the Lakers don't click into place, and they might. But if Chris doesn't win it this year, if CP3 doesn't get it this year, he's going to be this superstar who's never won one. So Westbrook's in pretty good company. It feels like a backhanded compliment. It's not. Russell Westbrook and what he does not translate to success in the modern NBA as it relates to actually winning championships. But neither does almost anything else. Kyrie Irving's got the talent, but not the temperament. Chris Paul's got the talent, but not the leadership skills, at least not up to this point of his career. Kevin Durant's got everything. He's just so thin-skinned. He's so brittle. I mean, Anthony Davis may be Humpty Dumpty physically, but Kevin Durant's an emotional Humpty Dumpty. He doesn't even want the Kings men to try to put him back together again because they might look at him the wrong way and make him feel bad about himself again. Well, take Anthony Davis. I think Davis AD is amazing. We just had this conversation before the show. Tom DiBenedetto produces the show. Tom DeCelestino works on Tiki and Tierney. My wife, who I told I saw those guys, didn't believe that those were two separate people, that I was messing with her, pulling some Bill Ryder prank, as she called it. She's like, it's not funny. I'm like, well, no, it's not. That's why would I make up that there are two? She's that's what you do. But D-Cell, who has some of the worst NBA takes I've ever heard in my entire life, said to me out in the hallway, it's the first time he's ever had a good NBA take. I was just like, again, weirdest timeline. This isn't where I'm supposed to. Said, yeah, AD's not a winner on his own. It's true. Think about how many guys have won championships because they played with the Warriors or with LeBron. That probably would not have. Let's see. Chris Bosh is one. Kyrie Irving is one. Kevin Love is one. Kevin Durant is one. Klay Thompson is one. Draymond Green is one. I mean, those guys, it's true. So yeah, it sounds like a backhanded compliment, but here's the reality on Russell Westbrook. What he's done is historically marvelous. It's a joy to watch him play. He is one of the all-time great players of this era, even if it doesn't translate into the postseason. He's a guy worth rooting for. He's a good dude. And it never occurred to me how much I want to see him have the thing that's not going to come, and that is a championship run that he is a critical part of. It's never going to happen. And by the way, I love being wrong on stuff like this, and I'm not. It's always easier in radio to be right on the things you don't want to be true but that you know are, right? What's not easy is when your emotion gets caught up in it. Like, this guy sucks, and I hate him. I don't hate Russell Westbrook. I like him. I respect him. I root for him. He's the kind of person who should have success in the world. He treats people well. He remembers where he's from. He has a humility and a pride in combination that is the best part of where you come from, that you hold on to, where you've gotten, that you appreciate, but you also aren't, you know, you're going to keep fighting for it. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Russell Westbrook. His greatness is remarkable. It's unprecedented. It just doesn't translate to success in championship level basketball. But you know what? Neither does most of the things that make the guys great in the association today. Just that's one of the things about the NBA. And I think that's going to change, by the way. I think it's going to change. Sometimes you get screwed. Sometimes you just get completely hosed. If you're the Utah Jazz, you're John Stockton, you're Karl Malone, there was Jordan. If you're Andy Roddick, he's a really good dude. Story came out today in Axios Sports about it's the first time in the history of tennis we don't have an American in the top 30. None of you care. Do you know why? Because Djokovic and Federer and Nadal crushed American tennis and the one hope we had in Andy Roddick. Sucks for Andy. Life's not fair. There's a bunch of guys, Russell Westbrook, top of the list, who aren't going to have the careers and the success they deserve because the game changed. LeBron dominated and Steph changed it. Maybe that'll be different over the next 10 or 15 years. Maybe the Trae Youngs and the Zion Williamsons and all the young guys, Luka Doncic is the world, Giannis probably in that conversation, are going to share success. And there'll be a lot more people who are gilded with the kind of greatness that actually means anything, and that's rings. Maybe. But that ship has sailed for Russell Westbrook. So all I can say in celebration of him is his individual talent is marvelous. It's worth rooting for. It's worth celebrating. And it can be both. He can be great in a way that's rare, and that greatness cannot necessarily, and it doesn't here, translate to championships because that's the era the guy's in. That's just the deal. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to give us a call, sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. It's great to be in New York, man. It's great to be here, hanging out in the studio, seeing Tom, being, you know, hearing D-Cell's amazing NBA takes. We'll get you some bad ones. He gets a little shy about it. Probably because they go on national radio with him. 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk some Jaylen Brown. I think Tom just spit up his water. Let's talk some Jaylen Brown next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. I don't know what the day is. Tuesday? Happy Tuesday. Bill Ryder with you. We'll get to this in a second. Sources tell me that because Stuart Kovacs, who works for JR Sports Brief here on CBS Sports Radio, because he, Tom, what did you call it? Glammed up?
Glow up. The pandemic glow up.
The glow up. Sources tell me that Andrew Bogish may have tried to get out yesterday, get a haircut, you know, maybe just like work on his look. We'll get into that in a second here. 855-212-4CBS. I went the other direction. Tried to put on 3 pounds yesterday and look as sloppy as I can. Let's go out to Buffalo. David, what is going on, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill, appreciate you taking my call, man. Just wanted to weigh in on Russell Westbrook here. I think, you know, there's no doubt he's a great player. You know, he's obviously a guy that, you know, has accomplished a lot in his career. But to me, it seems like when teams have been able to trade, you know, him and give him away, they've just, you know, they've given – you don't give a superstar player away like that in a trade because I feel like he's never been that kind of guy that can carry a team to a championship. Never had that big moment in a playoff series, or you know, ever made a deep run to say, "Hey, he's the man on a franchise." Like to me, you know, you mentioned all those names. The one name of who won a championship you didn't mention was Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he went to Toronto in that one year,
yep,
and won the championship pretty much. I mean, you know, by himself. I mean, yeah, he had Kyle Lowry. He had some nice role players. I think Nick Nurse is a great coach, but there's no doubt that he was the guy behind it. You're seeing Toronto's eliminated from the playoffs now a couple years later. So, and obviously there's other circumstances with COVID that have affected that. But to me, if you're that guy, you could really carry a team. And I don't feel like he is that guy. He might never be, but he's a hell of a player. I think he could be a Hall of Famer. But you know what? To me, people look at championships won versus stats nowadays.
Dave, what a great call. I mean, by the way, great call on Kawhi Leonard. I always consider, I know this is unfair to Toronto, I'm not trying to disrespect one of the great cities in the world, but I always consider historically in NBA conversations Kawhi Leonard's Toronto achievement Spurs adjacent, and that I just personally sort of group it under the same cat. I know it's not the Spurs, but he came up in that Spurs way, he broke away, he took what he learned there. Remember, Kawhi with San Antonio, when they won one of those finals against the Heat, the LeBron Heat teams, he was the second youngest finals MVP in history behind Magic Johnson. And if Kawhi takes the, by the way, if Kawhi takes the Clippers to an NBA championship and wins, especially with I'm going to try to say the straight face while I pause. Just let me gather myself. Playoff P, I did it, on the roster. I mean, it's a Theo Epstein kind of Red Sox Cubs accomplishment. It really, it, as a player, it really is. It's a great. But Kawhi's another one of those guys that has like been a blocker and maybe become more of a blocker. I mean, if Kawhi wins another one, I don't even know how many rings he got. Did he get two in San Antonio? I mean, if Kawhi gets another one of the Clippers, by the way, you start to wonder where he ranks historically. He'll start to catch up on LeBron. And here's the other thing I want to say about your point about how many in San Antonio? One. Yep. One, all right. One with the Spurs, one in Toronto. He could get to three, and LeBron has, what, four after that Lakers win? Two with Miami, one with Cleveland, and one with the Lakers. I mean, Kawhi's been the finals MVP both times that he's won an NBA championship, which, you know, he's one of the greats. I'll say this about Westbrook. You're right. He's been given away. And there's other factors that shape what I'm about to point out. But Oklahoma City now is in a rebuild. Now, they had a little bit of a playoff run with Chris Paul last year. And Houston's a total disaster. And the Wizards were a disaster early in the year, and then they kind of figured it out. Bradley Beal. And that's the other thing that's interesting. Westbrook is putting up this triple-double consistency, and Beal is just behind Steph to be the top scorer in the NBA. All right, 855-212-4CBS. We were going to get into Jaylen Brown. Didn't do it yet. We'll do it in a minute here. I do want to all right, I got to glam up. You got to give it to me again. I'm not
glow
cool.
Up.
Glow up. Glow up.
Yeah.
Like you, I got it.
Yeah.
Can you glow up
overnight?
I didn't
overnight? Make this up, I promise.
Is it possible to hear about Stuart Kovacs and overnight, whether you're just a random person or you live on Long Island and you do updates on this show, can you glow up overnight? Is it an overnight process?
It's rare, but I think it is possible.
Bogus, did you get a haircut yesterday?
No, I got a haircut on Saturday.
It looks good. So maybe it just settled today. It looks excellent. The beard looks a little more trimmed. You're in a very svelte-looking blue sweater. You look good. You look like you got a glow-up coming.
I appreciate that. I'll take a glow-up if you're handing them out, sure.
I mean, I'm not handing them out. I'm just recognizing what I see.
Well,
you
you're
get
sweet.
A glow-up, and you get a glow-up.
Is that a Kanye? Everybody gets a... That's an amazing... Amazing line. I went out last night, Bogus. I actually was walking back. I was walking back from a meeting, and I'm like, I'll swing by and say hi to the guys in the office. It was Zach Gelb show, talented radio host, and the Trace, Ryan Hickey. And we ended up going out to a little bar, and nothing will make you feel older than sitting down and having a waitress come over to take your order and just staring at in this case, Trace. And just like, it's like we had to order through him. Like, can I have an old-fashioned? And she would just stare at him. He's like, because Trace is all like, he'd like an old-fashioned. I'm like, she left. I'm like, do you know her? Did you date her? He's like, I don't know her. I'm like, don't you have a girlfriend? He's like, yeah. I'm like, is that why you won't make contact with her? It was so awkward. So he's got a glow-up going on.
Good for Trace.
Yeah. He had wanted nothing to do with it.
The old crew is just leaving us in the dust, Bill.
Everybody's glowing up.
Man.
The glow-up?
Yeah, you got it.
I mean, what's going on at nights now?
You know what I think it is? I went out for couple places, couple drinks last night. Might have had a couple. And people were in such a good mood, the people that were, you know, the servers and the bartenders. And I sat outside at a lot of spots. Apparently they're all just coming back to work. Like I went to some outdoor cocktail place up by the High Line. It was cool. And they were all in a great mood. There was like 15 people there. I was the only person in this little garden area because it was still daytime because I started a little early, Bogus, because I was meeting people from the NBA and other places, like drink at a time, right? Sure. I think they're all in a good mood. So maybe this young lady just hadn't been out socially, and she saw Trace, and she was like, you know, hi. And Trace
she
was just like...
She hasn't seen a guy in 14 months, so she's in on Hickey?
Not a glow-up guy. Not a glow-up guy like Trace. It was all happening. Gelb, I think, was
good
a little
for
bogus.
All of you.
Gelb was just talking. We was talking sports. But I was trying to take in the scene, and I was just very aware that this young lady was staring at Trace, and Trace was just like trying to just. And afterwards, he's like, "No, because he's got a girlfriend. He loves her. It's great." I go, "I'm not trying to encourage you to think stupid. I'm just saying that stupidity has presented itself if you want to make a terrible mistake." And he's like, "I don't." I said, "That's a good idea. It's a glow up. Man, the Celtics. This Jaylen Brown thing. I know it's probably in the update, right? I don't want to step on it too much." But what a bummer, dude. All right, let me ask you this, Bogus. Do you ever do predictions on your updates? Like what you think you're going to be updating in the next 7 months? Have you ever done that? You ever been asked to predict?
No, I don't think so.
All right, you ready? You ready for this first time?
Yes.
Moment? We'll get Tom's take too. Give me the percentage chance, right? Percentage chance that in the next 6 months, you will be updating Brad Stevens is no longer the Celtics head coach. Either through choice, right? Indiana, I changed my mind. Can I come back for $100 million? Or, you know, through a lack of choice.
Yeah. If you asked me this 2 months ago, I would have said zero. I still think it is the least likely scenario, but it is now officially on the table that things are that broken in Boston that they need to do some kind of significant sea change. And I think his contract is pretty legitimate and pretty not fireable, but I think the door is now open for them to being spooked by this season that they never were able to save for whatever reason. Because even before this injury, I mean, we had to give up on the idea there to flip the script and turn this around and be good again all of a sudden. So it's on the table, but I still think it's maybe at the best like 33% likely.
Okay, got it. I wrote down a number. Interesting. So you got 33. Tom DiBenedetto, the only person in my sphere who has not had a glow up along with me, or the anti-glow up guys.
Man, that's brutal.
I know. You said it. I'm just
it's been a rough year.
Leaning into it. Well, you look good, though.
Thank you.
Just the same.
I mean, it's hard to buy that, but.
Since you look the same.
Yeah.
You look bad. You just haven't glowed. You didn't glow up.
I see.
But although maybe we'll go to a bar tonight and some lady will just stare at you and you'll be like, no, thank you. And I'll be like, wow, it's all happening.
It just clicked.
For everybody.
The instantaneous
glow
up. Have
all the women of New York been locked in their apartments? What is?
I mean, pretty much, man.
What is that?
You're getting a very distorted view between the sunshine, the temperature, and the open bars. You're getting a distorted view of what life in New York City has been like. It has not been any of those things for quite a while.
I found it super sweet, and then I realized Ryan had a girlfriend. Yeah. And he was super. And I also just thought it was sweet how uncomfortable he was.
Good for him, though. He does look good. I see him every day. I haven't seen Stu, so I can't really attest. But yeah, Trace looks good.
Everybody's glowing up.
Yeah. So I had the same percentage as Bogish, but I think I'm more worried than he is. So I'll go 50-50.
Wow.
He's right. I mean, financially, it'd be weird. And I don't think Danny Ainge or anybody around that team thinks that he isn't a phenomenal coach. I just think there's a blatant stagnant. Something is not working. Something with this group is broken. And I think it's quite possible that he's the easiest thing to change, a la what the Sixers did last year. Especially if there's a coach that comes free that has a high profile like Doc that they are attracted to and think could make a positive, you know, culture impact. I could see it happening.
I mean, comparing Brett Brown to Brad Stevens is one of the ultimate insults I've ever heard directed.
Sorry, Brad.
Doesn't mean you're wrong. I wrote down 3%, and here's why. Now, politics and people in self-preservation mode can often, people in power, result in decision-making that's not fair, but life's not fair, right? But presuming that doesn't happen, I think there's two people that are at fault in what's going on in Boston. I think one of them is Kyrie Irving. I believe absolutely that he broke that locker room and he destroyed that culture, and that when you have young players who sort of have their development happen in fits and starts because of Kyrie and then a pandemic, there's going to be consequences. And I think Danny Ainge is the other guy to blame. And, you know, one of the things that I was going to write for CBSSports.com, and then I decided not to, because I just didn't, was the fact that that trade notwithstanding, right, back when the Nets were the New Jersey Nets and how they just totally, the Celtics and Danny Ainge just ripped off Brooklyn and what a win. The reality is, even though I don't think the Nets are going to win a championship this year, they can. They might. Celtics can't now. The Nets might end up winning an NBA championship after that trade, before the Celtics team, and that'll mean Danny Ainge squandered those assets. There were times, there were moves that could have been made for some huge names over the trade deadline, over the last 6, 7, 8 years. Kemba Walker was a decision. Kyrie Irving was a decision. I mean, amazing that they took Tatum at 3. I mean, like, Danny Ainge is great. It's like Danny Ainge has made some moves that I think are remarkable. He went and got Tatum at 3 and traded out of 1. Markelle Fultz is barely in the league. Brilliant. I think Brad Stevens hired out of Butler. Brilliant. But he hasn't squandered on the actual capital that he had because of that trade. And as long as Ainge is self-aware enough to say, all right, I was brilliant on Tatum. I was brilliant on Brad. I'm not going to trade Jason Tatum. I'm not going to fire Brad Stevens. And I think things will be okay for Stevens. But I think if Ainge starts to look around and say, you know what, I've squandered this and I don't want the blame, then Stevens could be the sacrifice. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't think it's a Brad Stevens problem. I personally think it's a Danny Ainge problem. Stuart Kovacs, who basically now looks like Tom Cruise, but younger. Ryan Hickey, who has, you ever see that really weird, stupid movie, Love Potion Number 9, where you just talk? if you talked, and people would fall in love with you, with some like chemical. That happened yesterday at a bar. And Bogus, who got a haircut Saturday, but I'm seeing it for the first time, the glow up for the first time. You've all motivated me. I look pretty bad. I look like,
I don't know, man. You're getting a lot of compliments around town when I'm around you.
I am getting a lot of like, you have a lot of sun.
Yeah.
But
you're glowing.
Someone also offered me money today and said it was going to be okay on the walk to work. So it's like, it can go. I'm the tannest person who doesn't have a place to live, apparently, in New York City, right? It's all going to be okay. This is a quarter.
Well, that's why you're tan. You have no roof.
That's right.
You're just in the sun all the time.
When you sleep on the sidewalk like Bill Ryder does, I'm actually in New York because I have nowhere to live. Should we do an update? Want to rock one of those? I'm excited.
Why not?
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm here. Let's do it.
Yeah, you are.
So Russell Westbrook is the king of triple doubles now, officially knocking Oscar Robertson off the mountain last night. Westbrook got number 182 of his career, breaking his tie with the Big O with 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists. But his Wizards lost to the Hawks 125-124, while the Pacers were winning in Cleveland 111-102. So Indy takes over ninth in the West, a half game ahead of the Wiz. As for the West play-in,
back up to Draymond. 15 seconds left. Curry for three, right side. Got it! Nailed it! Timeout, Utah! Warriors up one, but there's 13.4 left on the clock.
That's Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. The Dubs needed Curry's three after blowing an 18-point fourth-quarter lead on the Jazz. They got the W 119-116 with Curry scoring 36. Steve Kerr enjoyed it.
We've been in a nice little groove here the last few weeks, and this is one of our best wins given the quality of the
Golden State and Memphis have now clinched spots in the play-in. The Grizzlies down the Pelicans last night, 115-110. They are a half game behind the Warriors for eighth. The Spurs outscored the Bucks 146-125, so they lead New Orleans by 2.5 games for the final spot. And the Blazers handled the Rockets 140-129. Portland now a half game behind Dallas for fifth. The Lakers should have LeBron James back on the floor tonight against the Knicks. It would be only the third game he has played since March 20th. Because of his ankle injury. And one more time, the Celtics losing Jaylen Brown for the season to a torn wrist ligament, surgery later this week. The San Francisco Giants won again last night.
He throws. Dubon lines one to left field. Davis is going to have to play it on a bounce. Here comes Slater around third. The throw coming home with nothing on it. Slater scores. And into second on the throw, Mauricio Dubon, who
with
comes
a pinch
through.
Hit, tie-breaking RBI single in the seventh. That was Dave Fleming on Giants Radio. San Francisco won 3-1 over the Rangers. They joined St. Louis atop the NL at 22-14. Arizona beat Miami to snap a six-game skid, 5-2. The Reds rolled through Pittsburgh, 14-1. The Angels, a 5-4 win in Houston. And the Orioles beat the Red Sox, 4-1, to avoid a four-game sweep. And in the NHL last night, the Canadiens clinched the fourth and final playoff spot in the North Division. Colorado beat Vegas 2-1 to pull within 2 points of the Golden Knights for first in the West with two to play. Bill, back to you.
Hey, Bogus, great stuff, buddy. And I'll see you at the bar at like 3, right? Is that kind of, or 4?
Yeah, I'll have the full glow up done by then. Let's say 3:30. Let's split the difference.
3:30. I'm very excited. Yeah. Hanging out with Bogish. We'll do a full report tomorrow. It'll be like a Marvel report. It's absolutely going to happen. At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. I actually think there are probably alternate universes. And if that's the case, if there's an infinite number, maybe we're not in the weirdest, but we're in like the top 1% of the weirdest timelines. Tim Tebow is a tight end. That's going to end really well. J-Lo and Ben Affleck are back together. That's going to end really well. J-Lo. And Knicks fans think that they're going to win an NBA championship this year. That's going to end really well, too. The weirdness of sports and Urban Meyer at the very head of ridiculously bad decision-making next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Now, let me just say this. I've never lived a place in this country I haven't loved, ever. Dubuque, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, in my aunt and uncle's garage, sleeping next to their boat in Chillicothe, Missouri. Amazing. Brookfield, Marceline, Missouri. Little Rock, Arkansas was magical. Miami, Los Angeles, New York, the suburbs of Chicago, what's up, Naperville and Aurora, Wayne's World, baby. I keep going. There's more. It's an amazing place, man. That's why I get so angry when people who live in the Midwest, I have friends, like wives, of friends of mine who act like New York's some kind of war zone. No, that's wrong. And people who in California and New York act like where I'm from is some kind of flyover. You don't know what you're talking about. It's a big, beautiful place, man. I mean, I've lived in hot weather, cold weather. We've lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My parents did. I went to school at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, St. Louis, Washington, D.C. I've lived a lot of places in this country. Never been somewhere I didn't love. And it's great to be back in New York. Special in its own way. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. By the way, on Saturday on CBS, PGA Tour is in Texas with a fantastic field, including the world's number one golfer, Dustin Johnson, competing at the Byron Nelson Championship. Live coverage begins at 3 Eastern. That's 12 Pacific West Coasters Saturday on CBS. We're in the weirdest time. We're in the weirdest timeline. Look at the Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Bronco. J-Lo is dating Ben Affleck after dating A-Rod and breaking up with him. And now Tim Tebow is not going to be. He's a tight end. I intentionally didn't start the show with it. Really curious what my colleagues and our colleague competitors around the country do with their radio shows today. I just, out of pure principle, didn't want to talk about it. But can we just, are we allowed, the emperor has no clothes. And the emperor hasn't even technically started ruling yet. Urban, the Jags are on fire. There's so many names. He's going to burn it to the ground. This assumption that everything's going to be okay because Urban Meyer is there is not true. By the way, does anyone, the injury to Joe Burrow aside, do any of you really believe Joe Burrow sucks? I don't. Don't most of you think he's great? I do. Okay, so we've agreed that Joe Burrow's great if he's healthy. If he can stay upright. Do you think the Bengals are going to be successful? Me either. Quarterback's not enough. Your coach matters. Your roster matters. All Urban Meyer has done is complain about the free agent process, draft people that he recruited, draft the wrong people, and now bring in Tim Tebow. Do you have any idea? And you probably do. And by the way, I'm not mad at Tim Tebow for this. If the bosses called me up, right, and said, we want you to run Odyssey. Forget CBS Sports Radio. Forget, like, sport. We want you to be the COO. I think we have a CEO, and she's amazing. But just for the sake, we want you to be the CEO of Odyssey. And we're going to – that's the company that owns us. And we're going to pay you $5 million a year. I would the flash to that contract and sign it. Would I succeed? No. Would I fail? Yes. Would it be a disaster? Absolutely. But you can't be mad at me for signing the contract. I gotta do what I gotta do. I'm not mad at Tim Tebow. It's Urban Meyer who made that mistake. It's Urban Meyer who's a disaster. It's Urban Meyer who doesn't know what he's doing. And the level of resentment that players are going to feel in the National Football League, that coaches, special little golden boy, got a roster spot and a job? I can't wait until, you know, because we're in the weirdest timeline. I was going to say there's a 10% chance of this, but we're in the weirdest timeline, so there's a 95% chance. I can't wait till Trevor Lawrence inevitably has some struggles. These things happen, right? It's part of the deal. Remember, I don't even know. Tom can look it up. I'm going to guess. How many interceptions did Peyton Manning throw his first year? I'm going to guess 34, which is, I think it's probably 31, but I'm going to guess 34. That's what I'm going to go with.
28 is the answer.
28. Wait until that happens to Trevor Lawrence, right? Wait till there's some growing pains. Wait till it turns out Urban Meyer doesn't know what he's doing. And people start to raise them. You know, maybe Tebow could be could he step in? The Trevor Lawrence, Tim Tebow quarterback controversy, while Aaron Rodgers is a Denver Bronco and the best quarterback in the NFC North is a Chicago Bear, and J-Lo is talking about how she's going to stick by Ben's side, even though things are tough, how are we not in a simulation? How is this real? What is Urban Meyer doing? Here's an interesting tweet from Ted Johnson. Tebow playing tight end in the NFL is an insult to tight ends. He needs to be on the active roster for just 3 games this year to get a credited season and become a fully vested player. Tebow has played 3 years and needs one more year or 3 games of service to have lifetime benefits. Urban Meyer is Phil Jackson. I went out with an NBA person yesterday, and we were talking about the Knicks and how cool it is, right? How cool it feels for the city. This is a person that's not a Knicks. They're not with the Knicks. They're not associated with the Knicks, right? But they're an NBA person, and they're in New York City, and it's cool. It feels vibrant, right? It feels right to have the Knicks be relevant. I walked right by the Garden. I walked everywhere, and it was. And by the way, it's like, I don't know what time it was in the afternoon. 4? It's not like there was a game. It felt cool to be walking by a place that mattered for the right reasons, right? Not what it could be, but what now it represents. And the conversation turned to Phil Jackson. And it occurred to me in this conversation that Urban Meyer is Phil Jackson, potentially. Did Phil, like, decide, did he take the money from James Dolan and say, I'm just going to fail? No. But I can remember being in L.A. in the middle of the NBA season and going to Whole Foods, because who doesn't like overpriced chicken? And my wife is the answer. And there was Phil Jackson. And I remember, like, it just felt weird because he lives near me. And I go, oh, yeah, that's right. The reason it feels weird is we're in the middle of an NBA season and you're in charge of the Knicks and you're on the wrong coast. Phil Jackson got his money. Urban's going to get his money. And what, you're going to play favors and favorites? The resentment, the privilege, the anger, the frustration, the words, and the, I think, accurate thoughts that are going to be thrown around by grown men trying to make a living in the National Football League, and this guy gets a job? It's a joke, man. It's a joke. And I actually don't know the answer to the question I'm about to ask you. And sort of like being a radio host, in a lot of ways, like being an attorney, you're not supposed to ask questions you don't know the answer to. But I'm gonna go on a limb, man. Weirdest timeline. Let's just see what happens. Does Urban Meyer know that when you're a coach in the NFL, you compete against other NFL teams? Is he under the impression that Florida State is on the schedule and he's going to play Miami? There's a big game against Michigan coming up and we'll schedule Notre Dame. I don't know. Indiana's going to be on there. There's a community college west of Phoenix that just got Division I status. They don't have a team yet, but that should be easy. Does this guy know that every roster spot matters and the buy-in from your team matters and you are a CEO and not a dictator? There's a difference in managing grown men than managing young men. I mean, even I know this, and I'm not a football coach. When you have producers on television or radio that work with you, you interact in a different way when they're 22 versus 32 versus 52. When I had a TV show that I hired for at CBS Sports HQ, or as a part of hiring for, I should say, you would manage a 23-year-old differently than a 32-year-old. The standards are the same, but the way that, not just age, everything about how you manage people has to vary based on the people and their life experiences and where they're at. Here's the reality. You might need someone to work on a Friday night. You might need somebody to run through a wall from you in the National Football League. But I promise you, someone has kids versus they don't, they're going to see the world differently. Someone's married versus not, they're going to see the world differently. Someone's at the back end of their career and they're trying to make enough money, they don't have to worry about money in the National Football League. You're going to manage those people differently than the hopeful young kids who are sophomores in college. Does Urban Meyer suck at his job? Probably. I'm in the weirdest timeline, so you know, maybe he'll win the Super Bowl. Maybe he'll win 3 of the next 4. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm not betting on it. The Tim Tebow story is not a Tim Tebow story. Tim Tebow story is an Urban Meyer story. And it's a story about Urban. The Jags are on fire. And at some point, Urban, you're fired. But probably not for a while. Gruden got $100 million. Who knows what Urban got? He didn't get 10 years, 10 million, but he probably got 3 or 4 years and 9.5 or 10 or 10 and a half million. What a freaking joke. NFL owners, my name is Bill Ryder. I am willing to be incompetent and run your organization into the ground for half. You know what? I take it back. I'll do it for $5 million a year. It's a bargain. And I'm a good communicator. And I'll do this too. I will not go out and find failed minor leaguers who couldn't cut it in the NFL and sign them to contracts. Hashtag Bill Ryder. Hashtag I can do it. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Howard Beck, my buddy, talk some NBA, NBA ballots, other stuff from the association with Howard next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Howard Beck from Sports Illustrated on the program. Mr. Beck, what's up, buddy?
Mr. Writer, how are you? As you should know from your brief, your too brief time here, we have a borough president for each borough. So Brooklyn does have a borough president, which I am not yet, but, you know, the day is young.
I mean, I'm not saying that I want to run that campaign. I'm just saying I will run that campaign for free if you need someone who's writer than everybody else but bad at grammar. Writer than everyone, bad at grammar. I'm your guy.
I can't lose with you in charge of my campaign.
You can't lose, you know? We're going to get you back to normal. You know what I mean? Look at that.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Oh, yes. What the Beck is right. Oh, it's good. Dude, New York City, I know nothing. I hate the word normal and normalcy. We'll see what that looks like. But it's nice to be back in New York, and it feels, I don't know, it's been really great to be walking around the last 24 hours. And I walked by the Garden yesterday, and it struck me that there's a basketball team that plays there that's actually relevant and actually interesting. And I'm curious for you in what direction you think this organization is heading, whether, Howard Beck, you believe that they're building something that's competitive and lasting, or this is more of a one-off and they're going to come down to earth. What's your you cover the Knicks for a long time. What are you forecasting? What are you thinking medium-ish, longish term for that Knicks organization?
Yeah, listen, you know, to just establish the obvious truth here, in the present, this team is really fun and really competitive. They've certainly taken on the Tom Thibodeau personality in terms of their all-out effort, especially defensively, but they've been pretty good even offensively, despite having no one really of note on that roster. I mean, you know, it's an older Derrick Rose, right? He was an MVP once upon a time 10 years ago. Julius Randle was a good scorer, but kind of a black hole on offense prior to this season. So you didn't come into this year thinking there was necessarily anything remotely resembling what they've accomplished, and it's an incredible tribute to that coaching staff and to all of those players who have made this happen. So in the present, look, it's legit, it's real, it's fun, and the Knicks are back. I have seen in the course of my time in this city over the last 17 years, you know, a few false starts. And even that 54-win season that was their high point of the last 20 years back in 12-13 proved to be very short-lived because it was built on stilts. This one has the opportunity to be more sustainable. But there are caveats. There are caveats. Julius Randle's having a career year. And when a guy has a year that's such a huge outlier for his career, you wonder, is this a true breakthrough? Is this who he is for the rest of his career, or at least the rest of his prime? You can't call it a contract drive because he's not a free agent this summer. He's extension eligible, but it's not even advantageous to do that. He's going to have to wait a year to really get the max contract that he is now positioned for. But there are some thought around the league of like, okay, a guy doesn't usually jump from like, you know, 30% shooter from 3 to 40. Is this for real? Is this sustainable? The passing is definitely sustainable. All he had to do was decide to make those passes, and he's proven to be a really good passer, and he's not a black hole in offense anymore. So the good habits he's learned, and he's got a better shape. All of that should be sustainable, and that means that they do have a franchise star to build around for the first time in a while. And then everything around that is kind of harder to assess. You know, Mitchell Robinson had a promising start to his career, but he's kind of plateaued the last couple of years and obviously hurt this season. Is Nerlens Noel a long-term keeper? Derrick Rose is later in his career, so he's clearly not part of the long-term future. Short-term future, maybe. Manuel Quickley, nice pickup in the draft. Is he a sixth man? Is he eventually a starter? He's not really a true point. He's more of a undersized scoring guard. And R.J. Barrett, of course, has had a fantastic sophomore season. So you may, in fact, have your 1-2 punch now to build around, which is your way ahead of the game. They've got two extra first-round picks from the Porzingis deal with Dallas. They've got a lot of cap room. There's a path to being sustainably good to great, but it's not clear what the rest of that cast looks like. So there's still work to do, but it feels like saying that is somehow too negative in the moment because they're so good right now. You know, I think Knicks fans are happy just to enjoy what they've got and what they might do in the playoffs.
Howard Beck on the show. Not to not to rain on the Knicks parade, but if, and there's still some movement that could happen, but if the Knicks play the Hawks in our first round series, Howard, which I think would be amazing. Like, I love watching both those teams play, and I probably wouldn't have forecast either to win a first round series if I was being frank at the start of the year. To what degree do you think Atlanta could win that series and bring some of this optimism in New York crashing down to a degree?
I mean, this Knicks team has never been in the playoffs. That's you know, obviously. The Hawks have never been in the playoffs in this form. I don't know what to expect from either of them because of that. You know, they, in this league, so often your playoff prospects, your playoff fate has something to do with the, you know, the number of guys you've got who have had serious playoff experience. You know, they do have, you know, the Knicks have, you know, Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose, right? As guys who are kind of like their spiritual leaders in that locker room, and that matters. But this will be the first time for RJ Barrett and for Quickley and for a lot of these players. I haven't looked down the rest of the playoff experience of that team. The Hawks, it's you know, a couple of guys maybe have had some playoff experience, but they're pretty new to it too. It'd be a true toss-up series. I mean, it'd be a 4-5, which is supposed to be a toss-up anyway. So by definition, I think the more, you know, the other thing to keep an eye on, though, is that the Knicks could still slip here. Like, they probably aren't going to slip into play-in range, but they could slip to 6.
Right.
It's that close. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a really tough start to the playoffs where you're playing probably Milwaukee or Brooklyn. And, you know, that's, you know, if they have any chance of making the second round, I think they got to stay in that 4-5 zone.
Howard Beck here on the program. I'm Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You. Howard is not the president of the Borough of Brooklyn, but if he runs, I'm going to be his campaign manager. And I've got another slogan: get Brooklyn back to normal. I mean, God, it's good. God, it's, you're going to win. You're going to win. Who, and I know that they're in very different places, and at least for me, I would argue different talent levels, but who do you think is a bigger threat to win an NBA championship this year with everything we know, the Los Angeles Lakers or the Brooklyn Nets?
The Lakers.
I think so,
too. The Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, let's talk about the Lakers first. LeBron might be back tonight. Anthony Davis looked really good the other night. He looks like he's back to full strength. Not sure when Dennis Schroeder's coming back from COVID protocols, and given the length of time he's been out, you have to assume he actually has the virus, in which case he may not be himself for a while afterward. We've seen some guys come back and really struggle to get back to full strength. So there are caveats with the Lakers, and I still do have concerns about the fact that just they've barely played together for the last couple months. Yes, LeBron and AD and most of that cast have been together before last season when they won the championship, but they have a new starting center, Andre Drummond, who has been kind of an awkward fit, and LeBron has barely played with him, and Anthony Davis and Drummond are still kind of figuring out their, you know, their arrangement up there. So I think that there are plenty of reasons to believe that the Lakers could miss fire, some combination of health and just being out of rhythm. But they've still got a better shot than the Nets, who, listen, I know everybody says it doesn't matter. Durant and Irving and Harden, they're all so great that the defense won't matter. The fact that they haven't played together won't matter. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it, Bill. I've seen too much basketball in the last 24 years to believe that suddenly chemistry doesn't matter. Suddenly having experience on the court in all situations and under duress and ups and downs over the course of the year, that suddenly that doesn't matter with this group because they're so talented offensively that they can play whatever it's been, you know, they're, you know, 178 minutes together or whatever the number is, and that's somehow now enough. Maybe they'll just destroy all notions we've ever had, all, you know, axioms of NBA playoff success will just be thrown out the window by the Nets. It's possible. They are that talented. But I just can't see it given how little time they've had together and how quickly this team was thrown together. Harden just got here in the middle of January, and they've barely played together.
So I could not agree more. Howard Beck here on the show, and when Howard is the president of the Borough of Brooklyn, we're going to rename the bridge that connects that fine area to Manhattan the Becklin Bridge, the Howard Becklin Bridge. It's going to be branding. It's all going to happen. We're talking NBA, and we're talking your political future. It's all happening here on the show, Howard, at the exact same time. All right, so let's say that you're right. And that I'm right, and those of us that do not believe the Lakers are a sure thing or even dominant compared to the field, and we don't believe the Nets are dominant compared to the field. Let's say it's not either of those teams. It starts to be a pretty wide-open NBA picture. In that scenario, how many teams in the East, how many teams in the West do you think can legitimately eye a finals appearance and not be kidding themselves?
I'm going to make this field wider than some people will think is reasonable, and people will scoff at least a couple of these. But I think it's five in the West and four in the East. Aside from the Lakers, the Clippers are in this conversation. The Jazz and the Suns as the two leaders in the West, it would be the height of disrespectfulness to say that they're not at least a possibility to make it. And granted, the Suns, like, talk about a team that's never been in the playoffs, having to all of a sudden prove itself very quickly. You know, I have my doubts about them because of their lack of postseason experience, but they've been so great in you know, this season.
I like their upside. Yeah, I like – I'm with you, but it's like Chris Paul fits there the way Butler fit in Miami, right? It's just – it's the right – it's perfect.
Yeah. So – and then Denver. I'm still – like, when Jamal Murray went down, everybody said, well, it was nice. That was a nice story while it lasted, but that's it. They're out of the conversation. And I said, well, hold on. They're still going to be really good. And maybe you're going to really miss Jamal Murray and his shot creation and his ability to just manufacture in the on the fly when you get to the postseason. But I think they've got enough talent with Michael Porter Jr. Emerging, and they picked up Aaron Gordon. And lo and behold, they won like 9 of their first 10 after Murray went down. Now, the playoffs are different. But given that the Lakers are not themselves at the moment, given that the Clippers have some caveats of their own always – given that the Jazz and the Suns have never been that deep themselves, why would we rule out the team led by the almost certain MVP, Nikola Jokic, and Michael Porter Jr. on the verge of stardom? Why wouldn't we think that they could possibly come through? So I think it's a five-team race in the West. It's four in the East. The obvious ones, Milwaukee, Philly, and Brooklyn, and I'm not ruling out Miami. They already did this once where everybody slept on them. They were a low seed. They fought their way through. It was in the bubble, so everybody has their doubts about it. But, like, Jimmy Butler's had maybe his best season. Bam Adebayo's still been great. The supporting cast has been disappointing compared to where they were last summer. But they play their butts off. They're a great defensive team. Jimmy's a baller. I would not rule out the possibility of the Heat somehow busting through again.
Would you have if Jaylen Brown hadn't gone down to injury, would you have given the Celtics a 2 or 3 or 5% chance, or were they off the list regardless for you?
If you had asked me a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I would have said yes. If you had asked me any time in the last month, even before Jaylen Brown went down, I would say no. Like, one of those situations where it's, fooled me once, fool me twice, now I'm a fool, something will get fooled
George
again.
George Bush made it George impossible Bush. To remember that expression.
Yes.
He, can't he, fool he me again.
He botched it for all of us for all of time. The Celtics, I thought for sure when they were struggling earlier in the season, I thought, you know what? They just got to get Tatum back from COVID, and they just got to get Marcus Smart back, and they just – Kemba Walker's knee needs to get taken care of. They had all these things that were throwing them off early on that I thought, yeah, but the talent is still there. They just haven't had their full crew together long enough. And then they got their full crew together, and they've just been all over the map. And I don't know what to make of it. Is it chemistry? Is it just the fact they don't have enough depth on that team, which is certainly the case? I don't know what to make of the Celtics, but I am certain, and was certain even before Jaylen Brown went down, that that they were not a true contender, and that franchise has some work to do to get back in there. And look, the good news for them is Tatum and Brown together is still one of the best 1-2 wing punches in the league, and that's a great starting point. They just got to figure out the rest.
Howard Beck here on the show. Howard, before I let you go, it is obviously awards time. Are there any – let me ask you this way. What are the most difficult parts of the ballot for you? Is it coach of the year? Or are you on the Jokic is the MVP at the top of the ballot? That's not even a debate anymore. Where are you at in some of these bigger awards?
I think the toughest ones right now, there are like 8 or 9 forwards for 6 spots on the All-NBA team. There are maybe 10 guards for 6 spots on the All-NBA. So All-NBA is just a disaster right now. Like, it's going to cause me to lose sleep over the weekend. We got to turn those ballots in next Monday, and that one's going to be rough. MVP, my first two are fairly well locked in. It's Jokic and Embiid 1-2, and I think Giannis is probably 3. The rest of it is tough. The further down the ballot you go, the looser you get with requiring a gaudy win total or whatever else. And so Steph Curry could be in there, and Dame Lillard, Chris Paul, Luka Doncic, Kawhi has a case. Like, there's a lot of different ways you could go with the four and five slots. But I think my top three, it's definitely Jokic and Embiid, and like I say, probably Giannis at three. But MVP is always tough that way. There's even when you think you have a clear MVP, trying to figure out the two through five, three through five in a given year can always be a bit of a struggle.
I think the NBA was attempting to expand the field and tried to reach out to Ben Ryder, because I got a vote again this year, so I don't know what went wrong, but I'm just going to, keep it on the DL and vote. But I mean, trying to figure out where Bradley Beal goes on the All-NBA team gave me a headache this morning, so I just stopped. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's crowded.
I don't know if he's going to make it. Like, the Wizards have been one of the best teams in the league for the last month and a half, or the last month at least. I don't know if Beal or Westbrook will make it. And based on this late surge, there will be more support for them. But, it's tough. I think Curry and Doncic are absolute. Lillard and Chris Paul are absolute. So that's four locked in. There's only two guard spots left. And, there are plenty of good candidates there. And besides that, because of the logjam at forward, some guys like, Jimmy Butler is listed as a guard forward. If you can't get him in on with the forwards, maybe you switch him to guard, and that creates another problem for getting in a Beal or a Westbrook. So, where do you put Kyrie Irving or James Harden? Or do you say that they missed too many games? Ben Simmons, Jaylen Brown was having a really good year. There's a lot of candidates. Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, on and on. Obviously, brutal. Some stronger than others, but it's a long list.
Well, here's the good news. I've got your music for when you run for borough president of Brooklyn. We're going to take the Beatles song and change it to Get Beck, right? I'm not going to sing it to you, but I got you.
There's another direction you could go there. You got to move up by about a decade with Aerosmith and go Beck in the Saddle.
Oh, look at you leaning into it. Soon to be future borough president, Brooklyn borough president, Howard Beck. Amazing. The Beckland Bridge is going to be huge, though, right? Yeah. It's a little bit of, like you put your name on an airport, but whatever. The people have to remember that you're out there, Howard, when we make you borough president.
Next time I come on, I need your producers to have created the bumper music, Beck in the Saddle, but I need somebody doing a Steven Tyler screechy kind of screaming, I'm back in the saddle again. Like, I need that. Like, that's, I don't think I can come back on the show until we've got that done.
We got you. And by the way, that's not even my job. That's Tom's job. So when I say we got you, I mean that poor SOB's got you. We got you. Thank you, Howard Beck. Good talking, buddy.
Anytime, Bill. Thank you.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. I think I'm overjoyed to be in New York for a few reasons. One, it's nice to see friends. Two, I do. I love New York City. I think I said this last hour. I've never lived in a place I didn't love. Ever. And this is one of them. But also just to I know things aren't normal. I know it's varying degrees of normal in this country for different people. But it's just nice to be doing things that feel like life used to be. Get on an airplane, walking out of a hotel, seeing people I haven't seen, right? Having those experiences. Pretty amazing. Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Russell Westbrook. Russ only managed to pass Oscar Robertson last night for most triple-doubles in the history of the NBA with 182. It's a lot. It was his fifth career triple-double against the Hawks, meaning he has now accomplished at least five triple-doubles versus 23 of the league's 30 franchises. Over the Wizards' last five games, Westbrook is averaging 23.4 points, almost 16.5 rebounds, and nearly 19 assists per game. Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call, click Grainger.com/safety, or just stop by. Enjoyed having Howard Beck on the show. Howard said that he's going to lose sleep trying to figure out how to fill out that ballot. Last week, and I think it was on the Jim Rome show when I was filming for Jim. I don't think it was on this show because I did both last Thursday and Friday. Jeff Zilgit from USA Today made a very similar case. And I just want to say this. Media gets hated. Media gets called fake news. Whatever. Players, you know. I mean, what did Kyrie call? Pawns. He called all of his pawns. I understand. It's low-hanging fruit. And it's probably silly for someone who talks into a microphone to criticize people for low-hanging fruit when so many of my colleagues go for low-hanging fruit, and some of you probably think I do. I'm just going to say this in defense of a lot of my colleagues and myself as it relates to this case. We do take seriously the responsibility that comes with voting for these things. It's an honor and a privilege, and it's a responsibility that shapes people's contracts and other things. And I just think Howard's comment and Jeff Zilgit's comment and the transparency with which people like Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer put out his ballot already, I think it speaks to how most people out there covering these sports are trying to do a really good job. The best job that they can do. I want to say this really quickly about Aaron Rodgers. A little bit of a smoke's the wrong word, but some speculation and talk about the Broncos and their cap. They have the second most cap space behind the Jags, but that cap space for Jacksonville might be necessary just to fit Urban's ego into, right? I mean, like, it's a space, and so maybe it can go there. Denver's got some first-round picks down the line. I know that my buddy, former Packer, Super Bowl champion Brady Papinga, didn't think anybody could make an offer for Aaron Rodgers, but the market will dictate the value, not just the market of what is Aaron Rodgers worth, but what is Aaron Rodgers worth if the Packers decide to swerve, right? If they're playing a game of chicken in slow motion, eventually, and by the way, it doesn't have to be July. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It could be September. It could be November. It could be a year from now. If Aaron Rodgers, and we'll see, is really willing to sit out and do something else. It's weird. Even though I'm a Bears fan, I don't want to see him leave Green Bay. I like the idea of all-time greats playing their careers in the same place. It's early. It's too early. But I'd love to see Mahomes play his entire career in Kansas City. And while I respect the hell out of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, it's annoying how much that elevates him as a guy that's already the best. It does feel wrong, right? And I blame the Patriots, not Tom Brady, but it feels wrong. Aaron Rodgers should be a Packer. I've seen Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform. I've seen Brett Favre, oh my God, as a Jet and a Viking. I've seen Tom Brady, stop being so good at everything, TB, as a Buck. I mean, Johnny Damon's old school, but man, that was a betrayal. That was so ugly. Can't do that. I don't need to see Aaron Rodgers somewhere else, but if he does go somewhere else, Denver be fascinating. Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes twice a year, and Justin Herbert's in the mix, and we can all make fun of Gruden and the Raiders. How many games, by the way, how many games are the Raiders going to win if they have to play two games against Mahomes and the Chiefs, two games against Aaron Rodgers and the Broncos, and two games against Herbert and the Chargers? My math skills tell me that's six games. Like, maybe you're 1-5? I guess if you really succeed, you're 2-4. You beat Herbert, and you beat the Chiefs or the Broncos, and you drive in a circle around their stadium like a moron. We gotta give them some material for the locker room. Cool, good job, Gruden. Gruden doesn't care. Guy's gonna get $100 million to be mediocre. Jack Del Rio had a better record at this point of his Raiders tenure. Jack, let's get real. Oh, you know, like, that guy got screwed. He wasn't even that good. Is that a sell? I feel like a sell's coming. You can sell, Tom. You can lean into it. Everybody but me is getting the glow up over here. We got Bogish, fancy haircut, Stuart Kovacs, Ryan Hickey. Doesn't know we're talking about the waitress last night. I sent him a text, and he said, maybe I'll go back. And they said, just kidding. He knew. He was aware. Bogus, what's up, buddy? You good? What? Where are we on the Marvel saga? You were going to be our Marvel re-reviewer.
Yeah. So I did finish Thor. We have not started anything else. So that's where we are at the moment.
Didn't you finish Thor like a week ago when we already had that conversation?
I believe that's a fair assessment of how long I've been done with Thor. Yeah, I think it was 2 weekends ago.
I'm not gonna give you a hard time. You're glowing up right now. What are you and the wife watching? What do you guys have lined up in the Netflix, the Hulu, the Paramount Plus, the HBO, the internets?
That's a good question. We recently finished Succession. My second watching of that, her first.
So good.
So that's now in the books. We are just about to finish something called This Is a Robbery on Netflix. It's a 4-part series about I think still the largest art heist in history from a museum in Boston, like in the early 1990s, a whodunit. And I don't know whodunit just yet. After that, I don't know. We need something new after that.
So is a robbery, is it ironic because they've robbed you of your time? You can never get back? Or are you enjoying This Is a Robbery? What is the robbery?
No, dude, I'm enjoying it, and I love true crime stories. I watched, before that, by myself, I watched two different, like, crime, murder, miniseries things on Netflix. I love that stuff.
So you're like the murder podcast person. Are you like one of those guys?
I don't listen to almost any podcast. I'm not the murder podcast guy, but a murder TV show, I'm in.
It's a lot of murder.
Gotta admit, I like it too.
You like the murder?
Yeah.
Shows.
Yeah. Noelle made documentaries. Now Netflix is getting flooded with this true crime stuff, so that there's some garbage that is a waste of time, but the good ones I very much enjoy.
There's some Urban Myers out there? Put some resources in there.
Sure, you could call it that.
But it didn't work?
There was one about this like really seedy hotel in Los Angeles where it has a history of horrible things happening. This woman disappeared, and they didn't know where she disappeared. And they spent 4 episodes investigating basically every single conspiracy theory. And then in the last 10 minutes, explain how each one of them was wrong. They could have done it in 1 episode, or 0, really, at that point. Like, they completely just let all of these internet crazies go nuts for 2.5 episodes. And they were like, here's the 7 ways you're all wrong. But that wasn't the point of it. It wasn't to, like, shame these people or, like, to teach you. It was just like, this is the story, and let's see what happened. And then it just felt like they stretched it for 4 episodes when all they had to do was go, she sadly just disappeared. And I don't want to give it away, but like,
she
probably killed herself.
Oh, no.
There were not aliens or ghosts or hotel employees killed her and covered it up. It was none of that. It was just like, here's what happened, and this is why, and you should all stop on the internet being detectives. And I felt that one was a letdown. That one I didn't like.
They were basically being kind of, maybe it was aliens, though. Did you ever think about that?
A lot of people did, and they showed you how it wasn't aliens in this particular instance.
How can they show it's not aliens? Here's, we found the mothership, but she's not on there. We searched it. How do they know it's not aliens?
You know what? That's true. They did not have security footage of her not being killed by aliens.
Don't worry, they proved it's not alien. How? I'm all ears.
It seems safe to take this one off the aliens hit list. I don't think they did this one.
I'm all ears. All right.
There's also a new one on the LA Night Stalker that's like 8 parts, and I thought it was painful. It was also clearly like just stretched. That's what they're doing now. They're ordering all these episodes for these miniseries, and then they're stretched documentaries that don't need to be as long as they are.
I watched the Night Stalker one because he had stayed at this hotel that was in the previous documentary, disconnected from this woman's disappearance. I liked the Night Stalker one, and that one freaked me out because I don't think I've ever seen anyone more evil than Richard Ramirez. I mean, that dude was just pure bad stuff, and it's completely freaked me out.
I'm freaked out that you're so interested in this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Feeling a little creeped out, and you're glowing up. I don't like it.
First 48 on A&E, that's a great show. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I was going to give you a suggestion, but it's fiction, and it's just good, and you're not going to have nightmares and wake up in cold sweats, and maybe it's not your thing.
I don't have them already. Drop it on me. Come on, let's go.
Jupiter's Legacy. Netflix.
Where does that exist?
Netflix,
okay.
It may or may not be another superhero thing, but it's only 8 episodes. Easily consumable. It's very good. And it's basically like what happens when superheroes like arrive, and they sort of show the backstory eventually, but their kids have powers too, and their kids are basically screw-ups. It's basically what happens in American culture, right? Mom and dad build something. It's an empire, whatever. Son or daughter takes over. They don't appreciate it. Put stuff up their nose, doing all the drugs, having all the special alone time with each other. Instead of being
I've
superheroes.
I've already seen this. It's called The Descendants on Disney Channel. They've done this already.
Having done some walk-bys on The Descendants with my kids, I can tell you it's not. It's somewhere between The Descendants and have you seen the Boys? That's more your thing, because The Boys on Amazon's also like, what would happen basically if the Marvel heroes were actually just like regular people? A lot of them were evil and awful and selfish, but it has a lot of murder and evil, and it's just awful stuff, which is obviously apparently you're into. So, like, if you want to watch a superhero show that has a bunch of evil superheroes pretending to be good guys, and I mean evil, that's a show. It's a little, I like the boy, it's dark. Jupiter's Legacy is you know, not quite as, wow, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. Not quite that.
All right.
Not quite Murder Hotel. If you want to watch Murder Hotel meets the Marvel Universe, The Boys.
Mindhunters on Netflix. One last crime. Amazing. That's a drama series. That was great.
I stopped watching it, though.
I loved it. It was so good.
Clue got mad at me.
Incredible.
I got him into it, and then he's just like, why didn't you finish it? I'm like, why do we have to watch it together?
I forgot about that. He mentioned that to me.
Why do we have to watch it together? He like, why are you mad at me, Clue? Well, you told me to watch it. I remember once on the air, like 3 or 4 years ago, what was that stupid show? Riverdale. I like watched like 5 episodes of Riverdale on a plane. I was talking about it. And now there's like a couple of radio hosts around the country. I'll go on their shows, be like, bro, Riverdale season 6. It turns out the night ace is Johnny. I'm like, I don't have the heart. I just like, oh, I haven't caught up yet. They're like, oh, you got me on a Riverdale, bro. And I'm just like, we're on the air. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'll watch it. It's Riverdale. I feel bad.
I'm an adult.
Veronica turned out to be the evil twin. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but that's awesome. That is awesome. Go CW. All right. All right. Well, transitioning away from Murder Hotel, the documentary. Yeah. What's going on in sports, pal?
Yeah, easy transition. He already surpassed Oscar Robertson's feat of averaging a triple-double for a season. Now Russell Westbrook has passed the Big O for career triple-doubles. Westbrook finishing with 28 points, 13 rebounds, and 21 assists last night. Number 182 of his career. He's happy to prove people wrong.
And each and every time I step on the floor, I try to do things that people said I can or can't do, over the years. And proving people wrong and going on every night and competing and
the bad news is Russ made history in a 125-124 loss to the Hawks, the Wizards dropping to 10th in the East, a half game behind the Pacers, who won in Cleveland 111-102. The Warriors and Grizzlies won last night to clinch spots at worst in the West play-in tourney. Golden State outscored Utah 119-116. Memphis won in Cleveland 111-102. The Spurs snapped the Bucks' 5-game win streak 146-125, and the Blazers down the Rockets 140-129. Portland now a half game behind the Mavs for 5th in the West. Bob Baffert now says Medina Spirit was being treated with an antifungal medication that contains betamethasone, which might explain the horse failing its drug test after winning the Kentucky Derby. Medina Spirit is now in Baltimore for Saturday's Preakness, but Baffert is staying away. European soccer remains amazing. La Liga's president says FIFA president Gianni Infantino was behind the failed Super League, even though FIFA was officially opposed to it. Infantino is apparently an unnamed organizer mentioned in legal documents about the league. Just 5 games in baseball last night, the Orioles avoiding a 4-game sweep, 4-1 over the Red Sox. The Angels rallied for a 5-4 win in Houston. The Giants 3, the Rangers 1, Arizona beat Miami 5-2 to snap a 6-game skid, and the Reds smacked the Pirates 14-1. Then hockey last night, the Canadiens clinched the 4th and final playoff spot in the North Division, and the Bruins clinched 3rd in the East, will play Washington in round 1. That series begins on Saturday night. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, who was that? Infantino? Who's that guy? Is that the guy?
Yeah, the head of FIFA, maybe like behind the scenes, was pushing the Super League while publicly saying it was a terrible idea.
Had he ever stayed at the Murder Hotel?
I can't confirm that or deny it, to be honest. I don't know.
Evil geniuses circling the Murder Hotel of Los Angeles, California. Thanks for bringing that up in my hometown. Yeah?
No, you're good. It's
How
on Skid
Long
Row.
Island
you don't go there
Murder
often.
Hotel? Where's that guy at?
Well, we at the Amityville, we got that.
Oh, that's true.
We already did that.
So drink... 2.5 hours. I'll save you a spot.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna. What is your drink of choice? What do you drink when you walk into a bar with the guys?
Probably a Jack and Coke. Although an afternoon drinking session might be a little different. But let's go Jack and Coke.
I'm gonna have two waiting for you. I'm very excited.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm gonna find a non-creepy Murder Hotel, and that's where we're gonna hang.
I'll bring my iPad though. We can watch it together.
Oh, we're gonna do it at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Let's do buy or sell. No Murder Hotels at all. With Tom DiBenedetto next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, so it's more rough news for A-Rod this morning, and I'm not even talking about J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Brian Windhorst dropped somewhat of a bomb this morning on ESPN. Here's the report. Tech entrepreneur Mark Lurie and former baseball player Alex Rodriguez's 30-day exclusive negotiating window to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves from Glenn Taylor has ended without a formal deal. Both sides are continuing to negotiate in good faith in an attempt to reach an agreement, and it is possible that an extension to the window could be worked out, but one currently isn't in place, sources tell ESPN, end quote. Buy or sell, the A-Rod Wolves deal will fall through.
I'm going to buy that it will fall through.
Buy.
Because everything in A-Rod's life seems to be falling through. And I'm not taking shots or making fun of the guy. It just doesn't seem like he's on a very good run of luck. And, I mean, what would be amazing? Tom, I'll ask you a question. Buy or sell would be awesome if Ben Affleck swooped in to purchase
buy.
The
team.
Oh, my God. Imagine if he proposed to J-Lo. She said yes, and then he bought the Timberwolves. Oh, my God. Sole ownership.
Just is.
Buy.
I got to buy it again. So
Oh.
Buy or sell, Bill. The Ben Affleck J-Lo news is legitimate. It's actually for real happening.
I don't have a great radar in trying to suss out People Magazine sources. So I'm going to buy it because I want it to be true so badly. I want it to be true. I don't know why. I just want it to be true because it's so weird. It's so 20 years ago. And you know what? Whatever. Everybody's got to find their own love. And if that's... What were J-Lo and Affleck called? They have a name? Like, was it...
Bennifer. Is that right?
I mean, if it was, it's so good, bad. I love it. You know I love it. So bad. I love it.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit of a bizarre social media stir caused by Kent Bazemore of the Warriors during a shoot-around digital presser yesterday. While talking about Steph Curry's ludicrous run, he took a shot at the injured number two scorer in the league, Bradley Beal. Take a listen to yourself.
49 points in 29 minutes, though. That's unreal. And we got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up. So, yeah, I got to do some research on that. Oh, you got me, money.
Yeah, we got it. I don't think the research is needed. We got what you were getting at. Beal responded strongly on Twitter after that, writing to Bazemore, quote, "You don't know why I go out there and play, and it damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You a straight lame. It's funny you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing." ! End quote. Later, after the Warriors finished beating the Jazz last night, Bazemore commented further on that tweet response, saying, quote, "I guess you can't joke anymore." Buy or sell, Bazemore did indeed cross a line with that comment.
I'm going to sell. I mean, it's marginal.
Sell.
But like, by the way, this is just, I think, again, I'm just going to remind people, these guys can be pretty sensitive. It's not always just the media being mean. Again, not a great idea to like make fun of a guy who hurt his hamstring, but if you watch the clip, by the way, how do I say this? I'm going to use the word weird, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I'm weird, right? I'm friends with, I think weird people are interesting, but Bazemore's kind of weird, man. He's a different guy. He's just trying to praise Curry, and he did it in a way that was not very artful.
And that laugh. Ugh,
No, he sounds like the Joker. Like he's trying out to be the Joker.
Okay, the Lakers have a gigantic game tonight against the Knicks in Staples Center, and LeBron James is expected to return, although that's not confirmed yet. Lakers coach Frank Vogel didn't exactly confirm it yesterday, but did indicate that LeBron has essentially been a full practice participant over the last 2 days.
General plan is to take it one day at a time. You know, nothing more than that. Yeah, we did some drill work. We did some contrived scrimmages, and we did a short full scrimmage, and he did all of it.
In what might be the most shocking NBA stat of the entire season, the Knicks and Lakers currently have identical 38-30 records. Buy or sell, LeBron will indeed play and outscore Julius Randle tonight.
Ooh. Outscore Randle?
Outscore Randle.
I mean, Randle's...
It's pretty great.
Better than Chris Bosh already, better than Shaq. That's a tough one. I'm going to sell.
Sell!
Not only because Randle has surpassed, you know, many of the Hall of Famers that have come before him in not even an entire season of excellence. But because I think they're probably going to go easy on LeBron, he'll go easy himself. I don't think he's going to go into full mode, and it wouldn't surprise me if he plays, if it's more of a 22 or 25-minute kind of thing.
New Bears quarterback Justin Fields met with the media yesterday and discussed his developing relationship and discussions with head coach Matt Nagy.
We've had, you know, multiple conversations of kind of how he sees me fitting into this offense and kind of fitting into his team. So we're definitely excited for the future. And, you know, my job, of course, is to, you know, we'll come in here and work hard every day and, you know, just become the best player and the best quarterback I can be. Kind of just, you know, getting used to those new things. And, of course, you know, the terminology is going to be different here when it comes to, you know, different concepts, different protect. And so I think, you know, once I, you know, get into the kind of rhythm of learning that stuff and, you know, once I'm here for a period of time, it'll be all smooth sailing and I'll pretty much have everything down. So, again, I'm excited.
Yesterday, we discussed the literal odds on Trey Lance starting week one for the Niners. This time, I'll ask a little more casually. Buy or sell, you expect Justin Fields to be the Bears' week one starter?
I'm going to sell. I think they won't rush it. I mean, QB1, right? that poor social media person. QB1, Carson Palmer. Promises don't mean a lot in the National Football League, but they did give Palmer their word. Or Dalton, excuse me. They're probably going to give Dalton, I'm trying to think here, at least two bad games. I know they can't be a lot because there's massive pressure for Nagy and Pace, but you also don't want to rush Justin Fields. I think it's a week three or week four kind of thing, but we'll see how these guys look between now and the first week, too. It's going to be really interesting to see what the internal evaluations are given the pressure they're under.
And we'll finish here. A lot of aces on the mound tonight in Major League Baseball. And that includes Angels phenom Shohei Ohtani. He returns to the hill in a big game against the Astros in Houston. After losing five in a row, LA has managed to turn things around, beating the Dodgers in a weekend series, and they took game one against Houston yesterday. This will be Ohtani's fifth start of the season. The Angels are 3-1 over his first four starts, and he has struck out at least seven batters in every start so far. So buy or sell, Ohtani gets another seven strikeouts, and the Angels get another win tonight.
Let's go pure optimism.
Buy!
Let's go pure, and he's going to hit four home runs tomorrow. Back to back to back to back.
Bye.
Specific, you know, his at-bats. I cannot wait to start going to baseball games in L.A. Dodger Stadium's amazing. The team's amazing. I'm going to go. I am so excited, and I go back tomorrow, in the next, hopefully, month, to go to an Angel. I've never said those words. I'm excited to go to an Angels game. Let that sink in. That's how amazing Shohei Ohtani is. Fun show today. I got one more New York show. Do the show from the mothership here in Manhattan. And then we'll head back to L.A. tomorrow afternoon. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you. Shout out to our guy Keith in Tucson. Keith, thoughts, prayers with your surgery today. Appreciate you listening. We're thinking of you. I'm Bill Ryder. Show's Ryder Than You. We're back here tomorrow doing it again on CBS Sports Radio.